everyone. My name is Yavina Pressler. I'm a third-year PhD student at Colorado State University, and I'm really excited to share some of my research from a field study that I've been working on over the last year or so. Thank you all for being here today. It's really nice to see so many friendly faces in the audience. So I'm going to be talking about a study we did where we looked at how fire frequency affects both soil pyrogenic carbon content and soil food web dynamics in an oak savanna ecosystem. So I want to begin by broadly framing the importance of soil organisms and carbon cycling in terrestrial ecosystems. We know that climate change is having a big impact on how carbon is cycling through our ecosystems, but climate change also affects the disturbance regimes that might in turn affect carbon cycling in these ecosystems, and that's what I'm most interested in. And so the disturbance that I'm most interested in for my PhD is looking at how fire regimes are changing with respect to climate change. We know that, or we predict that fires are going to become not only more intense, but also more frequent under climate change, and this could have a big impact on how soils cycle carbon through terrestrial ecosystems. And we are interested in how fires affect soils in sort of two primary ways, both directly by killing soil organisms that might affect their ability to cycle carbon in the system, but in these oak savanna systems that we're looking at, the fires are really hot and fast, and so this direct effect is likely not a big driver of changes in soil carbon cycling in these systems. Instead, the changes in the soil, in the abiotic soil environment due to fire might be larger drivers of changes in carbon cycling in these systems. And so for this study, we were interested in looking at two abiotic factors, one pyrogenic carbon content and the other is pH. Pyrogenic carbon is essentially just the carbon product that is left over from incomplete combustion of biomass during fire, and it is comprised of these highly condensed aromatic ring structures that are typically more difficult to degrade and have longer mean residence times in soils. And so we're interested if there's a relationship between pyrogenic carbon but also pH in changes in the soil food web after fire. And so I have three questions that I want to address today. First is, how do these abiotic factors, namely pyrogenic carbon and pH, vary with fire return interval? And my title slide said fire frequency, but I really mean fire return interval, and they're sort of opposite. So if you have a low fire frequency or a short fire frequency, that means, or very frequent fires, that means that you have a low fire return interval. And the opposite is true. So if you have a long fire return interval, that means you have a long time between fires, so low fire frequency. And so our hypothesis here is that pyrogenic carbon would accumulate the most in soils at sort of an intermediate fire return interval. And that's because at long fire return intervals, you simply don't have enough fires to produce pyrogenic carbon, but also at low fire return intervals, not only do you maybe not accumulate enough biomass in the system to produce pyrogenic carbon, but it could also be recombusted in subsequent fires. And so we expect it to accumulate sort of in this intermediate stage. And then the pH effect from fire is long known in the literature that, in general, pH increases with fire. And so looking across this fire return interval, we expect that more frequent fires might continually increase the pH. The second question is, well, how does fire return interval alter soil food web structure? I'm interested in really looking beyond just the microbial community and looking at how the trophic interactions within the soil are affected along this fire frequency gradient. And so I'm looking at two sort of different parameters. One, just general biomass of all of the different trophic groups. And with fire return interval, we might expect that since fungi are typically much more sensitive to fire than bacteria, that fungi and their consumers may increase with less and less fire, so along this fire return interval, with a subsequent decrease or a relative decrease in bacteria and their consumers. But then when we think about food web complexity, fire is a disturbance that may, you know, alter food web complexity in the system, and we might expect that as the soil food webs are sort of recovering from this frequent disturbance, that we might see a greater food web complexity in these less frequent fire systems. And the last question is really linking these two together. So are pyrogenic carbon and or pH major drivers of any observed changes that we might see in soil food web structure? And of course, I wouldn't be presenting this talk if I didn't think that they were both drivers of soil food web structure in this system. So we went all the way down to southeastern Oklahoma to the Pushmataha Forest Habitat Research Area, where they have a long-established burn interval experiment that was started in 1984. And what they did is they took, they had 2 to 4 acre treatment units where they burned along this fire return interval. They have fires or plots that were burned every year, every 2 years, every 4 years. And the non-burn site was not burned since 1984, and so I call that about a 30-year fire return interval. And I'm not going to talk about the plant community composition in this talk today, but I think you can especially see from the pictures, but I think it's important to point out that the above ground, there's a big above ground response to fire in these systems, and more specifically that there was a clear shift from woody species to less in the less fire or the lower fire frequency sites to an increase in C4 grasses as you sort of have more and more frequent fires in the 1 and 2 year. So I'm just going to briefly touch on the laboratory methods. Of course, if you're looking at the entire soil food web, there are a lot of different extractions that we had to do for this. So these are the different groups that we looked at. So we looked at arthropods, nematodes, protozoa, bacteria, and fungi, and then, of course, functional groups therein. And for the bacteria and fungi, I want to point out that we did do two different techniques. Of course, many of you know there's many different techniques you can use to measure microbial biomass, but we use epifluorescent microscopy for sort of a total estimate of biomass, but then also look at phospholipid fatty acids, or PLFAs, to look at more of a finer estimate. And then in addition, we quantified pyrogenic carbon using benzene polycarboxylic acid, or the BPCA technique. Similarly to looking at microbial biomass, there's a lot of different techniques you can use as a measure of pyrogenic carbon, and this is one that we've used. I'm not going to talk too much about the methods here, but I'm happy to describe this in more detail after. Okay, so jumping into the results. First, how does fire return interval affect pyrogenic carbon? A lot of these upcoming graphs are going to have the same x-axis, so I'll point it out here. We have the mean fire return interval of 1, 2, 4, and 30. I did want to point out the little hash there in between the 4 and the 30. Obviously, there's a big range that I'm missing. But on the y-axis here, we have total BPCA carbon, so it's essentially a measure of pyrogenic carbon. And you can see, as our hypothesis sort of predicted, we do see the highest pyrogenic carbon at this more intermediate fire return interval. And then when we look at pH, so similar x and x-axis here, fire increased pH in all of the burn interval treatments, but we couldn't see a difference between the actual fire return interval. So it appears that no matter if you have fire, it doesn't matter how often, it could really increase the pH over this 30-year time scale. But another thing I want to point out here is the pH is in this system in the southeastern U.S. is really low. You know, it's between 4 and 5 for all of the sites. And while, you know, a small change in pH may not seem like a lot for from the perspective of the soil organisms, a small pH change in pH due to fire could have some effect on the soil organisms, particularly if you cross the critical threshold of the pH optimum for some of these groups. So now if we're looking at how fire return interval affects soil biomass just in general, to start to get into my second question, the x-axis again is mean fire return interval, and we have biomass in grams of carbon per meter squared. And we didn't actually see a significant difference in soil biomass across any of these groups. And, of course, we looked at many different functional groups within of these broader taxonomic groups, but I just presented the taxonomic groups here. There is a slight trend of increased fungal biomass in the 4-year, which we would have also expected in the 30-year, but we didn't actually see that there. But when we take a closer look at the microbial community, looking at the phospholipid fatty acid analysis, we can see that there's maybe a trend of a decrease in gram-negative and gram-positive bacteria at the 2-year. And this is actually really surprising because it's sort of counter to what a lot of studies have predicted for bacterial responses to fires in the past. Typically, we would expect sort of an increase or a stimulation in the bacterial groups with fire. And so this is something we've lumped all of the biomarkers together here for gram-negative and gram-positive. But something we want to do in the future is sort of see if there's some groups that are differentially affected that may be responsible for these results here. And we also did not see any differences in arbustio mycorrhizal fungi or saprotrophic fungi along this fire return interval gradient. But when we put it all together, I think that we can really see a more in-depth picture of how the soil food web is functioning in these ecosystems. And so what I have here is sort of, well, it's maybe a stylized or all of the links possible in the soil food web that we looked at here, and these are the broad functional groups that we identified. And so some of the, you can see the table down here describes sort of the patterns or the soil food web metrics that you can see across the fire return interval. But I just want to point out two big ones here. You can see that the directed connectance, which is essentially just a measure of complexity of soil food webs or food webs in general increases as you get less and less fires. And that's the same with the number of trophic lengths. So this whole concept of complexity may be increasing after fires have been suppressed from that system. We're starting to see some evidence for that. And so if we dig closer, connectance is essentially just L, which is the number of links divided by the species squared. So it's just the proportion of links that are realized of all of the possible trophic links that could happen in your soil, in your food web. And we see that soil food web complexity does increase strongly with a mean fire return interval. But something I want to point out here is that the variability in this 4-year fire return interval is really high. And in this study, it was actually the 4-year burn was burned 2 years after we sampled. And so it was sort of somewhere in this intermediate phase. And so it could suggest that some restructuring of the soil food web community as we go along this sort of recovery gradient towards the 30-year fire return interval. To jump into my third question, we didn't see how does the soil food web structure relate to those abiotic factors. We actually didn't see any evidence that pyrogenic carbon might be a driver of these changes in connectance or complexity that we saw. But we did see evidence that pH may be a strong driver. But this is a little bit counterintuitive because you might think that moving from a lower pH to a higher pH might alleviate some of this acidic stress in the system and increase connectance, but we saw exactly the opposite. And when you dig a little deeper, you can see that this is likely driven by changes in the fungal consumer biomass. And so there are some fungal groups, particularly cryptostigmatic mites, that have sort of a bimodal distribution across the pH gradient, where you see some species at really low pHs and some species at higher pHs, but not much in between. So it seems that the fire likely changed the pH across that critical threshold and changed the fungal consumer biomass. The interesting thing here is it didn't really match with any changes in fungi, their prey or their food source. And so that we're still sort of thinking about what the implications for that might be. And so I just want to talk through my take-home messages really quickly here, go back to my initial questions. What happens to our abiotic factor as well? Like you saw, pyrogenic carbon is higher at an intermediate fire return interval, and as expected, pH did increase with fire, although we didn't see a difference between fire frequency treatments. Second, what happens to the soil food web structure? Well, although we didn't see a change in biomass estimates overall, we did see that more frequent fires resulted in this lower food web complexity. And that was likely driven by the fungal consumers. And when we put it all together at the end, while we didn't see any evidence for pyrogenic carbon being a driver of changes in soil food web structure in this system, we did see some evidence that pH might be a more important factor, particularly on its impact to fungal consumers, most specifically cryptostigmatid mites, which made up the greatest proportion of that fungal consumer pool. And so with that, I'd like to take a second to thank all of the field and lab assistants that had helped me out there in 100 degrees in southeastern Oklahoma get these samples, the folks at the Kiyomichi Forest Research Station, where I did all of the lab work, and also, of course, the Pushmataw Wildlife Management Area. These are some of my funding sources, with special thanks to NREL's small travel grant for getting me here today. And I'll take questions. Thanks. Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of the studies that look at how fungi respond to fire might sample, you know, maybe immediately right after the fire, and we were sort of looking at a fire regime, looking at how the frequency of fire might affect those groups. And so I think it might be because we sampled quite after, the fire was in March and we sampled in September, so that might be one of the reasons there was some time for those groups to regenerate. But it's a good question because I was expecting something a lot different given what I've read in the literature, and so we're still sort of dissecting those results there.
Other questions? So I think your hypothesis is that this is all due to pyrogenic carbon. Have you thought of just adding pyrogenic carbon? I've been doing sort of like a biochar study and seeing how if you see similar results.
So we don't have any plans to add pyrogenic carbon or biochar in this system, but I have done another study last year where we added biochar to an agricultural system, which sort of makes more sense in that respect. And we looked at the entire soil food web, and after a whole year, we didn't actually see much of an effect. But that was a short-term study, and so we're interested in looking at this, first of all, in more of a natural system, but also where pyrogenic carbon accumulates sort of along this gradient. But if you notice, the gram negative and the gram positive bacteria, they sort of drop down at the 2-year return interval, which is also when the pyrogenic carbon is the highest, which is totally sort of counter to what we've been thinking. But I want to dig more into those results and see if there's a relationship there as well.
Is there a factor of where is the depth of that surface soil you're measuring?
Yes, the depth question. I'm glad you brought it up. So we sampled down to 10 centimeters, which of course in some ways might, I don't know, maybe dilute the results because a lot of the changes due to the fire, direct changes, might happen in the first couple of centimeters. But that, I think, is mostly if you're interested in how fire might kill soil organisms directly, and especially in these hot grass fires, you probably wouldn't see a lot of that beyond the first couple of centimeters. And so that's why we're more interested in these sort of indirect changes from the changes in the plant community. That's something we're working on, our collaborators with looking at, and the changes in pH and pyrogenic carbon, also moisture. There's a couple other abiotic factors I didn't present here that we can look at as well.
Thank you.